covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you.
All right, one more call on the hotline on this matter of an Article 5 convention and how it would operate from the many states. One of the original states has a caller right now, one of the original 13. Justin on the line in Georgia today, commenting on the Article 5 Constitutional Convention. Justin from Rome, how are you?
I'm well, sir, and yourself?
Doing well. So what's on your mind, real quick?
I was just going to call and say that you were talking about how you would be worried about the Constitution being opened up with these applications for calling the convention. Well, if you look at the actual applications that the state passes to call this convention, it says in the wording of the applications that this convention is limited to this specific subject, and that if the delegate approaches any subject outside of this subject, that delegate is no longer recognized by its state, and that the state therefore recalls its delegate, and the delegate no longer has a vote in the matter.
Well, Justin, that would be an important piece, and of course that would be for, you know, different Article 5 get-togethers, I suppose, because that's certainly not part of Article 5 in the U.S. Constitution. That would be something that would be put together rule-wise, so that, you know, the states, as you say in the application, if the application is worded that way, that's one thing. The Constitution is not. But thank you for bringing that to our attention, because that's an important, very important note. And if the application is uniform across all of the many states, then that would cover that issue, wouldn't it, sir?
Do what now? I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said if the application is the same across all states, it would take away that concern of mine.
Well, hang on. Let me read you what Georgia's actually said. It says that this application is to be considered as covering the same subject matter as presently outstanding balanced budget applications from other states, including but not limited to previously.
I think I lost him there, but we got it. I think we lost contact with in Georgia. Justin, I greatly appreciate that. So there it is. If the application is specific about this convention, is specific to one matter and one matter only, and it is, in this case, the balanced budget amendment, then now we know how that would operate. Great hearing from the great state of Georgia today here on the program. Shifting gears now, we're going to talk about Ivanka Trump and her pitch for paid leave and mandating it, requiring employers to do that. Aparna Mathur here, a resident scholar in economic policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Aparna, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So Ivanka Trump, this is no secret. She's been pushing this for a while.
Right.
You know, I don't like ordering companies to do much of anything generally. I'm more of a hands-off kind of guy, especially when it comes to my companies. I don't want the government coming in with a heavy hand and telling me you have to do this and this and this. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing to remember here is that she's not talking about a new mandate. We have had a mandate since 1993 telling companies that they have to offer employees 12 weeks of job-protected leave at the time of birth or for other caregiving. So she's not talking about a new mandate. I think the issue is that the 1993 FMLA, the Family and Medical Leave Act, that lets people take the leave, is unpaid. And so the question is really, how do you allow some form of payment to go to these families, you know, some level of wage replacement, so that they feel comfortable taking that time off? This is really an issue for low-wage workers who feel like, yeah, we have access to leave, but, you know, we can't afford to take it. So I think, you know, it is an important issue. It is something we need to talk about. I do think this is not a new mandate, and so we need to be very careful about, you know, how we phrase it, because companies are already sort of forced to provide that leave since 1993.
Well, it does appear to be a mandate to me. You might not agree with my wording, but I think that's what it is. And if you're ordering companies basically to continue to pay more and more, you're ordering companies to cover more and more every day. The back of businesses is getting broken, and thankfully, at least some of the regulations are going away under this president.
So So, you know, her plan is really about, you know, providing the paid leave through unemployment insurance. And I do have, you know, issues with sort of doing it at the state level through unemployment insurance. I do think that that would burden companies because unemployment insurance is typically funded through employer taxes. I do think that there are ways to design it so that you don't make it burdensome on companies. You know, I was part of a project at AEI in conjunction with Brookings and other organizations, and we said, you know, it's important to provide paid leave, but the way to do it is to do it through a tax on employees. You know, if this is a benefit that they are claiming, then it's best that they earn it through continued work with the same employer, but also through their own payroll tax contributions. So I think, you know, the question is really how do you design it in a way that it's not burdensome on businesses? Because you're exactly right that if you do it through a cost on business, then those costs will eventually be passed on to employees and could result in fewer hirings and so on.
Well, yeah, and that's the concern that it further, again, the heavy hand of government. Now, I appreciate the needs of people and low-wage workers, and I understand all of that.
Yeah.
But the unintended consequences is that some employers wouldn't do well, and if they didn't do well, then obviously we live in a litigious society where somebody would end up getting sued, and the company wouldn't exist at all, and then the low-wage earner would have, well, no job at all.
That's exactly right. And we have to be very careful when we design these policies that they don't inadvertently, you know, hurt the same people that we're trying to help. So I think a lot of it matters. Much more thought has to go into how we design it, and which is why when we did it through the AEI Brookings paid leave project, you know, we said do it through an employee payroll tax. But at the same time, because we realized that the country is facing a really bad fiscal situation. We have high debts and deficits.
Sure.
So we also combine that with spending cuts. So we say any policy that you come out with has to be has to be budget neutral at the very least.
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
We don't
out.
Want too many, to add to the burden that the country is already facing.
Too many Republicans not agreeing with that either because they're weak-willed and weak-kneed and they're paying attention to their own careers. I have to run. I greatly appreciate it. Aparna Mathur.